Welcome back to Rosie on the House. We were in the middle of answering a listener's question about replacing the shutoff valve that you would see under any sink or basically anywhere there's a water faucet in your home, with the exception of the shower. If you look at your toilet, there's a shutoff valve. You open up the sink for your hot and cold line, there's a shutoff valve. If there's a wheel on it, that's called a gate valve. Those are not nearly as good as the new ballcock valves that just require a 90-degree turn to shut it off. So at the point you would replace, we would tell you don't put a gate valve in, put in a ballcock valve.
And that looks like a lever, right, mm-hmm. that you pull down, as opposed to
a hand
dial
twisting.
Kinda, yeah.
They just fail over time. They don't turn all the way down, or then you get it all the way turned around, you go to unscrew it, and whatever inside the valve is broken, and you can't open it now. It just spins and spins and spins without opening the gate. The ballcock valve, it's no mechanical function inside. It's just, it's a ball that's got a hole drilled through it, and when you turn it off, the ball's closed. When you turn it, the hole lines up from one side of the pipe to the other, and the water passes through. There's nothing to fail.
I'd like to say, too, if you don't know where that is in your house, go find it right now. Go look at each sink and toilet.
In the cabinet.
In the cabinets and then behind your toilets. I was in a public restroom one day, and there was 2 inches of water on the floor. Ooh. From a toilet overflowing, and women were running. I mean, running out, and I walk in and hit the lever. I'm like, are you kidding me? Nobody knows how to do this. It's so important. It saves you so much time. We had an employee who...
I commend you for going into a public restroom flooding. I'd have been like, maintenance! Stepping in a cesspool.
Just picture women running away from water flowing out of a toilet.
It was
like
clean water. You
know, sure.
I will recommend, because I change my shutoff valves occasionally when they fail, but if you have a house that doesn't have any water treatment or ever, scale does kind of build up over time. So once a month, just go and shut off your valves.
Good point.
Put that on your home maintenance calendar there.
And then when you shut them off, turn the faucet on to make sure it's shut off. You
know, Good point.
You don't know that it's not working unless you test it. Well, and then from the shutoff valve to whatever fixture we're attaching it to, whether it's the attachment on the toilet fill valve or the sink, cold or hot, there's water. The water line is usually rubber, plastic. That plastic line on the hot water side of things, and in particular as it relates to your washing machine, that busted water line is the number one leading cause to water damage in homes in America, and therefore the number one thing on insurance claims is the failure of the plastic water line on the hot water side on your washing machine.
I won't run laundry when I'm not home. That just wigs me out. I wait till I get home.
So invest in a little bit more expensive water line. Don't get one that's plastic by itself. You want to look for one that's braided with metal. It looks like a metal line, but inside it's the same plastic that's in just a basic plastic one. But that metal weave helps hold the plastic together. It doesn't let it expand and burst like it does by itself. But most importantly, and I don't even know why they waste their time with this, but they have plastic water lines that are braided in metal that then have plastic nuts that attach to the water line. Why are you spending all that money on the extra metal braided one and then putting on the plastic nut? Make sure you get a metal nut on each side to make that attachment. We actually had one of our Rosie on the House employees is dealing with water damage in their home because the condo they live in, the line had a plastic nut on it, and the plastic nut is what broke, and they couldn't get the gate valve shut off, and it took maintenance at an extremely ridiculous amount of time to come address the situation and caused a lot more damage than necessary. And they actually got it shut off by using a pair of vice grips clamped on the water line to shut it off until they could figure out how to turn the main water line off.
And didn't she say that there was one step further she could have gone to the water heater and turned it off? Did you hear her say that?
Well, turning off the water heater isn't going to shut off the cold water supply to your toilet.
Well, somehow there was
knowing where the shutoff to the main
house is.
They could have, where the water line goes into the main of your home, there's always a shutoff valve there.
For the whole house, not just the...
And it would apply to the condo. And then beyond that, going to the street and knowing where the street shutoff valve is. Some municipalities don't like homeowners messing with it. Some... I've heard of locks on it. I've never seen a lock on a water meter, but know where the water meter is to your home because there is a valve there you can shut off. You will need a crescent wrench and a screwdriver. You just put the crescent wrench down over the bar that's sticking up. You can't use a regular wrench, and it's usually pretty hard to turn off. So if you put the screwdriver through the eye hole on the end of the handle on the crescent wrench, you can then use that to turn it.
Gives you some leverage.
And yeah, that'll shut off your water valve as well. So know how to shut water off on your home. We had a rain this week, and it's the perfect rain for people that have leaks because it wasn't enough rain that you would know you have a leak. It was slow enough that the water would have not saturated the wood rafters enough to get through your insulation and get all the way through your drywall, but it was enough that it's showing up on your rafters in the attic if you have an attic and you can crawl through it. So it's a perfect opportunity to grab a flashlight if you can safely navigate your attic and just take time shining your light and looking over every single square inch of plywood, every square inch of rafter, anywhere that there is a sign of wet moisture, because it'll still be wet and damp. That gives you the sign that there's a leak, and it's going to be a lot easier to fix that now, and it's going to avoid the major problem when a gusher hits that brings enough water that it then saturates and starts hitting your ceiling. So these rains are perfect for identifying your leak. If you wrote home is over 15 years old, 20 years old, definitely 30 years old. Get up there and inspect it. If you can't safely navigate your attic, you know, find a neighbor or friend that can, or call a roofing contractor. You can find one near you at rosieonthehouse.com. And most of them, you know, they don't charge for inspections. I will say right now that they're probably busy fixing roof leaks. Anytime it rains, that just happens. And October, we had a ton of rain, so they're still booked up from fixing all the roof leaks that came in from that time frame. But it gives you now for the next 3 or 4 months. You know, if you can get up there and identify you have that leak, it gives you a couple months to plan for it, because at the point the water is running into your home, you've got to fix it now,
and you have to stand.
You don't
in
have
line.
A lot of time. Yeah, you got to stand in line. So you've got a little bit of time to fix that. It's a great, those slow, great drizzlers are great for helping us identify and fixing things ahead of time and not behind the eight ball. Gentleman texted in during the 8 o'clock hour, promised I would answer in this hour. He has two old swamp coolers. He's in North Phoenix. On top of his roof that have not been used in probably 10 years, he's getting a new roof. Should I remove them or should I leave them on the roof in the event a future buyer might want to use them?
I can answer that one, actually.
Okay.
Okay, because we had that on our house. We had swamp coolers when y'all were growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things was that they saved money. And then we also liked...
Off of your electric bill?
Yeah, compared to, you know, running the air conditioning in the old days. And then we liked the fresh air and being able to crack the doors. And with kids coming and going, it just worked really well. But now the new mini splits have come so far. We took all the swamp coolers off the house, and in the garage space where we needed extra air conditioning like you would, we put mini splits. And also the new air conditionings are so much more effective than they were that, and cheaper, you know, to run, that you really can't save money with a swamp cooler.
And you don't need to put an air conditioning tonned, you know, I can't remember the lowest tonnage that they used to make. I think it was down to maybe 2.5. I'm going to get corrected in the next 10 seconds or verified that was my memory served me correct from the air conditioning contractors that listen. But they make mini splits now, and mini splits are a lot cheaper than buying a packaged air conditioned unit. And they are so efficient. There's some people that are putting two or three different mini splits on their home this mini split covers my kitchen and living room. This mini split covers the back bedroom. And they're using those technologies for air conditioning their home instead of installing or replacing a new central system that may cost $20,000. They're just putting in a couple $2,000 or $3,000 mini splits around the home and cheating it or getting around the replacement that way. Mini splits are a great application for the garage. You probably want to spend a little bit of money on insulating the garage if you're going to use it there. It still doesn't make a whole lot of sense to run a mini split in a uninsulated garage that's got, you know, a 10 garage door. You want to have an insulated garage door. But that is a great option. You had asked Tim and specifically if a future home buyer might want it. It's evap cooling really comes to outdoor cooling. They've got the patio pals that roll around the garage or your back patio. You've got tables that they make that have evap coolers that blow underneath the table to help keep you cool. It's really a portable cooling application. I don't know that that would give you any competitive advantage in a seller's market. And because there's two evap cooler units, that's two separate penetrations that are probably into your roof. The less penetrations we can put in a roof, the more bulletproof we make that roof, the longer lasting it'll be. Every plumbing vent, every skylight, not that I'm against skylights, every ductwork cut in, but every chimney, every one of those that we give where two materials come together to patch up a penetration through the roof.
One more chance.
Is one more chance the water is going to find its way in your home.
Real quick, too, those swamp coolers, they do take maintenance. Even if you're not using them, that's one reason we got rid of ours is because you were constantly having to maintain them even if you weren't using them. Makes sense?
Mm-hmm. So. Absolutely. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. Julia's been on and off the phone quite frequently. Everyone, as we expected, wants to talk about Rosie and get more information about Rosie. We were going to make the entire 4 hours about Rosie, but Ryan Hatch, I think he was right when he said, look, he's going to be back soon. He's recovering from the rollover off-roading vehicle. Rosie wouldn't want you to spend 4 hours talking about him. He would want you fulfilling his mission of being every Arizona homeowner's best friend. So be there for the listeners. Be there to answer questions. Be there to carry on the broadcast and assure everyone Rosie's in a strong recovery. And he'll be back soon. Mom has posted at caringbridge.org. We've got a direct link on our Facebook fan page where you can go read through all the different journal entries Mom has made since October 17th when the rollover happened, and where you can send cards to Rosie. We've got his recovery room full of postcards from friends, families all over the country, just to help encourage and keep him motivated and get him back here strong on the air. We've got one more segment here in the 9 o'clock hour. 10 o'clock hour, we go into a heavy topic, but we're going to continue the open line format as well because we're going to be talking about pliers. It's tool month here at Rosie on the House. We talked about hammers last week, pliers this week. We'll be talking about levels and saws next week. But that's all. It's hard to talk about pliers for an hour, so we'll continue the open line format in between the different history and details that are important to know when you're selecting pliers for your home.